scripture reading this morning is Exodus 3, verses 1 through 18. Exodus 3, the first 18 verses. We read this in connection with Lord's Day 36, which speaks of God's name. Here we especially will learn of the name Jehovah or I Am. Exodus 3 is the passage in which God appears to Moses in the burning bush, right before he, or when he calls Moses to lead the people out of the land of Egypt. Exodus 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. And gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord, God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Thus far we read the word of God this morning. the basis of this passage and many others. We have the truth contained in Lord's Day 36. Lord's Day 36 is found in 1 and 22 in the back of your Psalters. What is required in the third commandment? That we, not only by cursing or perjury, but also by rash swearing, must not profane or abuse the name of God, nor by silence or connivance be partakers of these horrible sins in others. And, briefly, that we use the holy name of God no otherwise than with fear and reverence, so that he may be rightly confessed and worshipped by us and be glorified in all our words and works. Is then the profaning of God's name by swearing and cursing so heinous a sin that His wrath is against those who do not endeavor as much as in them lies, cursing? It undoubtedly is, for there is no sin greater or more provoking to God than the profaning of His name. And therefore, He has commanded this sin to be punished with death. How often we use the name of God is striking. Just think about the worship service. When we began the worship service this morning, we sang the doxology, "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow." We prayed, "Our Father, which art in heaven." We used His name when we just sang Psalter number 26. We used His name when we read His Word. We used His name already in the sermon. We use His name from start to finish here in the worship service again and again and again. But this is not the only place we use His name. We use His name everywhere. We use His name at home, in family worship, when we sing, when we pray, when we read His Word at home, we are using His name. We use His name at school, when we sing, when we pray there, when we talk about what He has done for us. We use His name at catechism, at Bible study, throughout the day, maybe at work when we are talking to someone about the sermon or about who our God is. We use His name all the time. How often we use His name is striking when we think about it, but it's also striking how often we take His name in vain. So often we put His name on our lips without thinking of who He is. Sometimes we even use attributes like goodness or holy to express surprise at something. We take His name so in vain so often. This morning, as we hear the Word, let's see our failures and get on our knees and pray for forgiveness in the blood of Jesus. But this morning, as we hear the Word, may the Spirit also move us to seek to go forward and keep this commandment. Yes, the law does show to us our sins. Let's see that this morning. But the law also is a guide for thankful living. Let's hear about the third commandment. And by the power of the Spirit, let's go forward and seek to use His name rightly. That's the only way we can, as you will see the more and more we look at this command. Only by His power. Let's consider this text under the theme, "Commanded to use God's name rightly." Commanded to use God's name rightly. First, the principle. Second, the command. Third, the goal. The principle, the command, the goal. First, the principle. And again, that means what lies behind this commandment? What lies behind it? This truth. The truth that God's name is holy. This command not to take His name in vain. It's the truth that God's name is holy. Now, what exactly is God's name? God's name is what God uses to make Himself known to us. God's name is what God uses to make Himself known to us. God's name then includes many things. God's name includes His proper names, Jehovah, God, Lord, Father. Jehovah's name includes His attributes, as we will see. And Jehovah's name includes the name Jesus Christ. Jehovah's name includes His proper names. God's name is Jehovah. That's one of His proper names. God's name is Jehovah. He uses that name to show us who He is. That's the name that God used in Exodus 3 to tell Moses who He was. In Exodus 3, God appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And God told Moses from that burning bush that it was now time for him to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt and to the land of Canaan. Now when Moses heard that, he was a bit apprehensive. Moses wondered what would happen when he would go tell the people of Israel that it was time to leave Egypt and go on this long journey back to Canaan. According to verse 13 of chapter 3, Moses asked, "When I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is His name? What shall I say unto them? Who should I tell them is the one that sent me?" Verse 14. God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And He said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." Now as you know, that name I am is the name Jehovah. Jehovah means I am. God's name, again, is what God uses to make Himself known to us. Now, God uses that proper name, Jehovah, to show His people that He is the unchanging one, the faithful one. You see, no one else can be called I am. We can, and we do say, I was that way, and I will be that way. I was, I will be. We can say that for creatures. God does not say that. God is the I am. He's unchanging. Never changes in His attitudes like we do. He's the I am. And this name Jehovah, or I am, especially reveals God as the one who is unchanging in His attitude of love and friendship towards His people. He's unchanging in His attitude of love and friendship towards His people. This name shows us who He is. It was fitting that God said to Moses that His name was Jehovah while speaking to him out of the burning bush. That burning bush was a picture of Israel. That bush was on fire. But God was in the midst of the bush, and thus that bush was not being consumed. Well, that bush was a picture of Israel. Israel was in the fire in Egypt, in slavery. But God was with them in the midst of that fire, keeping them from being consumed. He was the Jehovah, the I am, the unchanging one. He was with them in Egypt. He would be with them all the way on their journey to the promised land. God said, "My name is Jehovah, the unchanging, faithful God." As Malachi 3 verse 6 says, it uses this name Jehovah. It says, "I am the Lord." That name Lord in that verse is in all. It means I am Jehovah. Therefore ye sons of are. That's His name. Jehovah. And God uses this name Jehovah to make Himself known to us as the unchanging God. But God also uses this name Jehovah to make Himself known to us as the eternal God. He is the I am. There is no past. There is no future with Him. He exists in eternity, outside of time. He's the I am. God uses this name Jehovah to show He's unchanging, to reveal to us that He is eternal. He also uses this name Jehovah to show He is the self-sufficient one. He does not need anyone to support His existence. Think about it. He says, I am. I do not need anyone else. I am. Unchanging, eternal, self-sufficient. The name Jehovah is a wonderful name. Now, God's name includes His other proper names too. It includes the name Jehovah. But God's name also is God. God's name includes that proper name, the name God. The name God, as we saw a couple weeks ago, especially has the idea of being almighty. That's the root of the word in the original language of Hebrew, almighty. So God uses that name to reveal that He is the Almighty One, greater in power, behind all power. God uses this name, God, in passages in which He's especially speaking of His power in Scripture. For instance, in Genesis 1 verse 1, God says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. My name is God. I am Almighty. I created all things. God's name is Lord. Lord means master or ruler. And God uses that name to show us that He is the ruler or master over everything. Over the children here, He's the ruler over you. He's also the ruler over children in India, children in China. He's the ruler over people in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Everywhere, He's ruler. His name, Lord or ruler, shows that God is the one who makes the laws. With that name, He reveals Himself as the lawgiver. I am the king. I make the rule. God's name is Jehovah. His name is God. His name is Lord. His name is Father. What a wonderful name that is too. As you know from your own experience, a father loves his children. A father cares for his children. He's with them. God uses the name Father to show us who He is as the God who perfectly cares for His children. Psalm 103 verse 13, a well-known passage. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. He is Father, loves His children for Jesus' sake. When you think just about those proper names, understand that it would be a good idea to go home even in this week in your personal devotions or in family devotions to consider those names, to think about them, to read a few passages that contain those names. Just meditating upon them shows our God's awesome name. God's name includes His proper names. God's name also includes His attributes or characteristics. God's name includes His attributes or characteristics because those attributes make Him known to us. Remember, God's name is what He uses to make Himself known to us. His attributes make Himself known to us. So His attributes are His name. Think of some of the incommunicable attributes of God. These are attributes that are so closely tied to His being that we do not even share with them. We cannot. For instance, there's the incommunicable attribute, eternal. He is eternal God. This attribute shows that He has no beginning and no end. Kids, you have a birthday. You have a birthday. God does not have a birthday. He has always existed. He has no beginning. But God also has no end. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 15, God says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And He's the God of us today too. He has no end. He continues to exist and will forever. He's eternal. That's an attribute. God uses that attribute to make Himself known to us. Another attribute, incommunicable attribute, is that He's omnipresent. He's everywhere present. He's right here, but He's also in Hall, Iowa. He's also in China. That's who He is. That attribute reveals to us who He is. That is included in His name. He is omnipresent. God's name includes all His incommunicable attributes, but God's name also includes His communicable attributes. Those attributes that He does share with us. We have these attributes, but we do not have them perfectly. We do not have them infinitely as He does. Just consider a few of them. Jehovah, God, He is righteous. He is the God who perfectly conformed to His own law. That's who He is. Righteous. That's included in His name. He is gracious. Gracious means beauty or favor. He is beautiful within Himself, within His own Trinitarian being. He is the God who shows that beauty and that favor to us as people. That attribute, grace, reveals who He is. God's name includes all those attributes, since those attributes show us who He is. Meditate on those two. It would be good to meditate on His names, but also His attributes. Think about them. Study them. God's name includes His proper names. His name includes His attributes. His name includes Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God come in the flesh. And this name Jesus is used by God to make Himself known to us. He uses this name Jesus to make Himself known to us as the God who saves His people. Again, He uses the name Jesus to make Himself known to us as the God who saves His people. The name Jesus means Jehovah salvation. The Je in Jesus means Jehovah. The Sus in Jesus means salvation in the original Greek language. His name is Jehovah salvation. God uses His name known to us as the one who saves us through His Son. That's God's name. What He uses to show us who He is. Now, we're looking at the principle that what truth lies behind this third commandment. The name of the Lord God in vain. We've seen what God's name is. It's what He uses to make Himself known to us. Now understand that God's name, this name we've described, this name is holy. God's name is holy. God is a holy God. A holy God. That's what His character is like. He's holy. Isaiah 6, verse 3. There the angels said, cried out one to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." He's holy. And to be holy means to be set apart. God is set apart from all men in all things. That's why said to Moses in Exodus 3, verse 5, "Whereon thou standest is holy ground." God was showing right there, I'm set apart. I am not common. I'm set apart. Moses, you cannot even stand there like you normally would. You have to take your shoes off. God is set apart from all men. He's set apart from all men in righteousness and in purity. Men are sinners. God is totally set apart from sin. He hates sin. It's the opposite of who He is. God is set apart from all men in glory. He dwells in the light which no man can approach unto. Exodus 3 verse 6. There it says, "Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God." Set apart. He's too glorious to look upon. That God is holy means that He is set apart. But that God is holy also means that He is devoted to Himself. God is separate from all sin, and He's devoted to Himself as the only good. All that he thinks and all that he wills and does, he's devoted to himself as the highest good. That's holiness, separation from sin, devotion to God, God Himself. Since God is a holy God, we've seen that. Scripture says it. Since He's a holy God, His name is also holy. He is holy in His character, and therefore His name, which describes Himself, is also holy. His name is set apart from all their names. It's not common. God's name is totally set apart from sin and from all darkness. His name is glorious. The principle that lies behind this third commandment, the truth that God's name is holy. It's set apart. And it's devoted to Himself for His glory. That's the principle. Now the command. Now the command. And let's see the negative command here, and let's see the positive command. First, there's this negative command. The negative command is, do not take the name of the Lord God. Do not take this holy name, this name that is to be set apart and devoted wholly to Him. Do not take that name and make it common. Do not take it in vain. To take God's name in vain means that you use the name as if it is nothing. Vain means empty or nothing. To take His name in vain means that you act as if His name is not separate from other names. His name is nothing in your eyes. To take His name in vain is to profane His name. That's how the Catechism describes it in Lord's Day 36. Question and answer 99, it says, what is required in the third commandment? It says, not only by cursing or perjury, but also by rash swearing. We must not profane or abuse the name of God. That phrase, we must not profane or abuse the name of God, that's the main clause in that first half of question and answer 99. That clause is explaining to us, this is what it means to take His name in vain. To profane His name, to abuse His name. That's taking His name in vain. To take God's name in vain is to profane that name. To profane is to take something glorious and try to make it common. Profanity is to use His glorious name, the name of the eternal, unchanging one, and to drag it in the mud. Act as if it's nothing. Make it common. To take His name in vain is not only to profane it, but also to abuse His name. Abuse is to treat something with violence. When one treats God's name with violence, he is certainly acting as if God's name is nothing. His name is common. Maybe one does that by cursing or damning someone in the name of God. That is using His name with violence. Taking God's name in vain is really the effort. Pay close attention here so we see the terribleness of this sin. Taking God's name in vain is really the effort to take God off His throne. When one takes God's name in vain, he uses it as a common name. When one does that, he's really saying, God, you are not that great. You are not the king over all. I'm going to use your name as I please. Your name how I want. Now, how does one do that? How exactly do you take God's name in vain? Question and answer 99 explains that. It says, not only by curse or profane, but by wrath and swearing, one profanes or abuses the name of God. One takes God's name in vain by cursing. Cursing, that's the action of trying to cut down God's name. Cut it down. And one might do that when he's angry. Maybe one when he's especially angry will voice his displeasure using the name of God. Maybe he will damn something. He damns something in the name of God. In frustration and anger, then, one is showing less respect, less reverence for the name of God than he would for a common name, the name of a man. Take the name, when one curses, one takes the name of the Almighty, unchanging, the ruler over all. He takes the name and he puts it in the mud. Stomps on it. One takes God's name in vain also when he commits perjury, according to answer 99. Perjury is lying in the courtroom while you're under oath. One may take an oath in the courtroom, and that means that he is calling God as his witness that he is telling the truth. But to commit perjury means that you lie while you're under oath. You call God as your witness that you're telling the truth, and then you lie. That's perjury. And that is taking God's name in vain. That's taking God's name in vain, showing that you hate God's name when you do that. His name is truth. He is the truth. So when one commits perjury, calls upon God, and then lies, that's showing hatred for the name of God. He is the truth. One takes God's name in vain also by rash swearing. By rash swearing. We will look at this more next week in Lord's Day 37. But rash swearing is making an oath about many insignificant matters. One goes around and is always trying to prove that what he says is true by saying, I swear this, or I swear this is true. You're calling upon God's witness all the time then. And the one who swears this way is often not thinking of the truth, that they are calling upon God as their witness to the truth. They're taking His name in vain, not thinking upon Him. And also, one is doing that. One often is not even sure of the truth. Then they are really offending that God who is the truth. One takes God's name in vain when he curses, commits perjury, rash swears. But also this, one takes God's name in vain when he uses it to show surprise at something. That's certainly profaning God's name. When you show surprise at something, you're making his name common. It's very normal today, it's common in the world that one would text the acronym OMG. Everyone knows what that G stands for. One is using God's name to express surprise at something, really making it common, making it as if it's nothing. Terrible. One might say, oh my goodness. Goodness is an attribute of God. Really using that name is a common thing. One might say, gosh, that's a nickname for God. Or geez, which is a nickname for Jesus. Whenever one does that, when they use these names, they use these words, they are taking God's name in vain, taking the name of the eternal, the unchangeable God, and trying to make it common. Not using it with reverence, respect. One takes God's name in vain when he uses that name to show surprise at something. One also takes God's name in vain when he puts God's name on his lips, but doesn't think about what he's saying. We take God's name in vain. We act as if it's nothing. When we take our Psalter and we sing, now to God our strength and Savior, but do not actually think about what we are singing. Do not think about who God is. We take his name in vain. We act as if it's nothing when we pray, our Father, which art in heaven, but do not think about who He is as the Father. Our minds are at work, are at play. That's taking God's name in vain. How easily does that not happen throughout the worship service? How easily does that not happen throughout the week, even in our own personal prayers? Question and answer 99 gives us one more way that God's name is taken in vain. God's name is taken in vain when we stay silent when others use it in vain. Question and answer 99 says, we must not profane or abuse the name of God, nor by silence or connivance be partakers of these horrible sins in others. Connivance simply means that you allow something to happen. You give consent to it. You don't say anything. Maybe someone at work, or someone at school, or someone that you know well, maybe it's even a friend, they might take God's name in vain and you are scared to say something. You don't want to say anything. You don't want to maybe make them mad or angry, so you say nothing. When you say nothing, you are really giving your consent to them. You are saying that's really okay. I do not mind that you have taken the name of the unchangeable, eternal Creator God and made it as if it's nothing. That's really not a problem to me. Question and answer 99 says that when you do that, you're making yourself a partaker of that sin. God's command this morning is this: do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And again, that command is in the negative, as was the command last week and the week before. It's in that we saw, the first and second commandments. This command too is in the negative because God knows this is a temptation for us. It is a temptation for us to take His name in vain as those who have natures. We are prone to do exactly that. Take His name in vain. And we are prone to do it because we are a people that are so proud. We naturally do not want Him to have a name that is far above our names, that is separate, that's holy. We want to be just as great as God. We want to be able to take His name and make it common. Use it how we please. We are no better than Eve. No better than God. It's a great temptation to take His name in vain, and it's a temptation that we so often fall into. Maybe we have cursed, using God's name to voice our displeasure about something. Maybe we have used it to express surprise at something. And we certainly, even already this morning, have not always thought upon that name that we put upon our lips. Oh, we use God's name in worship, but our minds wander. We certainly have committed that sin too. Even in the past week, maybe we have taken His name in vain, have not dared to say anything, and then became a partaker in that sin. Think for a moment of how sad that really is, that we are like that. How upset we can get in this country when someone disrespects a national symbol. Maybe they disrespect the flag. How upset everyone gets. Even we do. But then someone disrespects God's name on TV. Or someone disrespects God's name in front of us, cursing or swearing. We say nothing. People of God, we need to repent. We are called to repent this morning. Let us be sorry for these sins. Let's be sorry to God for our failures. Just think of who He is. He's the holy God. He hates it when man sins. Think of what He does and what He has done for us. God is the one who sent His only begotten Son to die for us, to deliver us from bondage to sin. God is the one who is faithful to us, leading us again and again to seek His face throughout our whole life, fallen to sin, and He brings us back. He's the faithful, the unchanging one, as He was to Israel in Exodus 3. We know that God. Yet we turn around and put His name on our lips without thinking. So when we say nothing, when others take His name in vain, we sin. Be sorry. Be sorry. Confess that sin to God. And turn from that sin. Do not take His name in vain. People of God, let us not remain silent when others use His name as they ought not to use it. Do not let others attempt to take God off of His throne. That's our God. That's negative. Do not take God's name in vain. Positively, use His name rightly. And fear. Question and answer 99 says, we must not profane or abuse the name of God, nor by silence or connivance be partakers of these horrible sins in others. And briefly, that we use the holy name of God no otherwise than with fear and reverence. So you see, the Catechism and Scripture both tell us that we are still to use the name of God. Some in the past have said, it's so hard to keep this command. Let's just not use His name then. This command is so hard to keep, so let's not use it. Let's avoid all use of God's name. For instance, the Jews in the past have said, let's not use the name Jehovah. Let's not use it. It's too easy to take His name in vain. Well, that's a wrong view. We must use His name. Moses used His name. In the following chapters, Moses told the Israelites, Jehovah sent me, the I Am. Psalm 116, verse 3. There the psalmist says, the sorrows of death... Excuse me. Psalm 116, verse 4 says, I call upon the name of the Lord. 116, verse 4. I call upon the name of the Lord. We are to use His name. And we are to use it with reverence and fear. First, understand that command to use His name with fear. Understand what fear is. Fear, to fear something means you stand in awe of it. You stand in awe of that thing. You might stand in awe of the Rocky Mountains, or you might stand in awe sometimes of a river, or of someone who is very tall. You might stand in awe of that. But we're talking about fear of God. And that's standing in awe of Him. To use His name with fear means that we use His name with awe. We use His name with amazement. You do not act as if it's nothing, using it to curse and to swear. No, to use His name with fear means that when you use it, you are thinking about how great He is. You are thinking about how He is the unchanging One, the Almighty One, the Lord over all. That's what using His name with fear means. You use it when you think about it and stand in awe of it. God commands us to use His name with fear, but also positively use His name with reverence. To reverence is to respect. You know what respect is, kids? You know what that is. You are to respect your teacher. That means you do not view yourself to be above your teacher. No, you respect your teacher. You view them to be higher than you. You say, hi, Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so. You obey them. You do them highly. We are to use God's name with that reverence or with that respect. We do not use it acting as if we are above God and we can do it as we please. No. When we use His name, we are thinking of how He is above us. So far above us, the Almighty, unchanging God who created all things. Who's the God of our salvation. We use His name with that in mind. We use His name with respect, with reverence, with awe. That is God's command to us. And that brings us to understand that we do not say then in prayer things like, hey God. That becomes a common thing in the church world today, to act as if God is on our level. Nothing more than a buddy or a friend. God's command is do not use my name like that. Use my name with fear and reverence. I am greater than thee. Use His name with reverence and fear at all times. What a command that is. Use His name with reverence and fear here in the worship service. When you pray, "Our Father which art in heaven," when we pray that together in congregational prayer, stand in awe of who He is as our Father. Think about that. When we sing, "Lord, our Lord, Thy glorious name," in just a little bit, think about that name, Lord, and how mighty He is, the ruler over all. Think about that. Use His name with reverence and fear when you use His name at school and at home. When you speak to others of how He is the eternal God, think about what you're saying. When you are speaking to others of Jesus Christ, think about what name is on your lips. Use His name, standing in awe of who our God is. The principle that lies behind this command is the truth that Jehovah's name is holy. Because God's name is holy, He commands that we do not take it in vain. We do not act as if it's nothing, but instead we use it with reverence and godly fear. What's the goal of all this? The goal is that we glorify our God's name, the God of our salvation. Use God's name rightly because you do not, first of all, do not want to offend the God of your salvation. Use His name rightly because you do not want to offend the God of your salvation. God hates this sin. God hates the sin of taking His name in vain. He hates it so much that He says that He punishes it with death. Leviticus 24, verses 15 and 16. Leviticus 24, verse 15 says, "Thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, Whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him." Blaspheming the name of the Lord, that is sinning against the third commandment. That is taking God's name in vain. And that one who did so was put to death. Question and answer 100 says this. It says, "Is then the profaning of God's name by swearing and cursing so heinous a sin that His wrath is kindled against those who do not endeavor as much as in them lies to prevent and forbid such cursing and swearing?" It undoubtedly is. For there is no sin greater or more provoking to God than the profaning of His name. And therefore He has commanded this sin to be punished with death. Remember why God hates this sin so much. When one commits this sin, he is attempting to take God off of His throne. When he curses, he is really saying, "I am going to use Thy name as I please." When one allows others to swear in His to swear and to curse and to use God's name wrongly, one is really saying, "God is nothing. I am greater. I will take His name and I will rub it in the mud." Think that makes it clear. God certainly hates that sin. That's terrible. However, we aren't thinking of our God when we're singing or praying. We're saying, "You're not worthy of my thoughts, O God." Sin provokes Him to anger. So this morning, pray for forgiveness in the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus came here and He took upon Himself all of our sins, including the sins that we've committed against this third commandment. God did not hold Him guiltless. Instead, Jesus, as the one who had that sin, went to the cross. He bore that great punishment that was due unto us. He died for us. And not only did He do that, but He lived a perfectly righteous life. He lived a perfectly righteous life, always using God's name exactly as it is to be used. Perfectly righteous. Pray for forgiveness in His blood. Pray that His perfect righteousness might be credited to your account. Pray for that today. Pray for forgiveness, but also turn. Turn because you do not want to offend this God, your God who has saved you in Jesus Christ. Do you know your deliverance this morning? Do you know who your Savior is? Do you know that He has delivered us from that bondage in Egypt, that bondage to sin? Bondage to sin in which we would die forever in hell. God has delivered us from that through Jesus Christ. Now turn from this sin against the third commandment to thank and praise Him. That He might be praised. That's what question and answer 99 says. It says, use the holy name of God no otherwise than with fear and reverence, so that He might be rightly confessed and worshipped by us and be glorified in all our words and works. Use His name with fear and reverence so that He might be rightly confessed. If you are using His name any way that you feel like, using His name flippantly, acting as if He's really nothing, you are not rightly confessing His name. You're not rightly confessing His name before Him or before other men. But when we do, by the grace of God, by the power of Christ, use His name with reverence and with holy fear, standing in awe of who He is, then we are confessing His name rightly before Him and before others. You see, others can tell. Others can tell when you use His name standing in awe of Him with fear and reverence. They can tell. And that may even be used by God to lead them to ask you more about your God, the God whom you love, the God whom you clearly adore. Use His name with reverence to rightly confess Him. Use His name with reverence and holy fear to worship and glorify Him. Use His name with reverence and fear to praise Him. Our Father which art in heaven, and thinking upon who He is as our Father. That gives Him praise. Singing, Lord, our Lord, Thy glorious name, thinking upon Him as the Almighty Creator, the Lord of all. That gives our God praise. Use His name rightly then, in thankfulness to Him who is the God of our salvation. Amen. Let us pray.